Chapter 1. Massive explosions ripped through the Hurak's hull, tearing the ship in two. All Nick could do was watch helplessly from the Ashok's tactical display the image of mangled, lifeless bodies silhouetted against an erupting fireball, now permanently seared into his mind. A vivid reminder of the cost of war, and the reason they fought against the odds. The loss of another ship was a serious blow to the resistance. The loss of life, immeasurable. Damned soulless biomechanoid bastards. He hated everything they were, everything they represented. When would the galaxy finally be free of their malevolent reign? Admiral Nick Bannon raised his head from the tactical display and stared at the monstrous Mach 2 Starkiller that now filled the forward screen from edge to edge. It was the first time he'd ever set eyes on the mighty Brokta. The legendary vessel was big as hell and blacker than death itself. Its soot-black hull seemed to absorb every photon of starlight that fell onto its surface, making the ship nearly impossible to see in normal space. But here, against the brightly lit background of the nebula, it was an ominous sight indeed. At almost a mile in length, the rival Brokta was slow and cumbersome compared to the nimble Ashok, but the giant ship's firepower and defense systems more than made up for its sluggish maneuverability. The Mach 2 vessel was truly a formidable adversary, and just getting this close to the enemy's flagship was no easy task. Now here they sat, staring down the barrels of the enemy's most powerful plasma cannons. By some stroke of luck, and a hell of a lot of maneuvering on Nick's part, the enemy had allowed the Ashok to advance within weapons range, and that's all he needed to finish the job. Nick drew in a deep breath and prepared to bellow the final command. It would all be over soon. Fire!
Aye, Admiral, firing on target, young Lieutenant Errol calmly replied from his post.
Nick Bannon spun his chair around to check the tactical display. Three other resistance ships had also made it into weapons range and were closing in for the kill. Nick welcomed the sight of the other ships. His mission would have been suicide without the other resistance vessels drawing some of the Brokta's massive firepower.
Helm, watch that crossfire!
A powerful plasma burst grazed the Ashok shields, rocking the ship violently. Ensign Corrin had been making his way across the bridge, but the shock of the blast caused him to stumble. He struggled to remain upright and grasped at the nearby railing to steady himself as the ship pitched. His hand missed the railing and he fell face first to the floor. The bridge was a chaos of crew members trying to remain steady on their feet. Somehow, Nick managed to keep his grip on one arm of the captain's chair as his body was thrown from the seat.
Sorry, sir,
the helmsman called over his shoulder as he quickly worked the controls to avoid more incoming rounds. Nick threw his ass back into the seat and checked the damage report. He glanced back up at the Mach 2 vessel as they barreled closer.
Tactical? Why is that ship still in one piece?
To the right, a bridge officer fought to extinguish a small fire that lashed out from a damaged power conduit, sending a thick, white cloud of smoke wafting in front of the viewscreen. A blinding light forced Nick to look away. Sparks erupted from the consoles around the bridge as enemy plasma fire impacted the forward shield. A direct hit. Within seconds, the pungent aroma of shield emitter coolant filled the air, hissing loudly from a ruptured pipe housed within the ceiling. Nick's lungs seized, refusing to allow the toxic gas in, but not before he managed to choke out a command.
Protocol 2, switch to secondary system.
He ordered in between coughs. His thumb found the latch to the breather unit compartment tucked neatly into the arm of the command chair. As his lungs squeezed closed, damaged from the dangerous coolant in the atmosphere, his hand finally located the small life-sustaining canister and he quickly pushed the mask to his face. Clean air slowly replaced the chemical-laden air in his lungs as he forced a few breaths from the emergency breather. The unique, tingly feeling of microscopic medbots working to repair his lungs was unmistakable. He never thought he'd be thankful for the tiny alien nanite buggers that were now busy augmenting his damaged tissues, but this was the second time they'd saved his life, and he was damn grateful for them now. As the pain in his chest eased, he took in a deep breath and shouted over the noise.
Tactical! Report! Nick glanced at the tactical officer, then looked back at the Starkiller. Why haven't we fired?
I'm trying, sir. The instruments show full power, but I'm unable to open a jump point.
Nick jumped from his chair and stumbled across the shaky floor to the tactical officer's console. A few quick system checks, and he realized the lieutenant was right. But it didn't make sense. The hyperspace generator seemed to be working perfectly, yet no jump point was forming. The lieutenant held a hand to his earpiece as he struggled to hear a report over the racket.
Sir, all our ships are reporting the same problem.
Nick's blue-eyed gaze darted left and right as his brain frantically tried to make sense of it all.
Why isn't it working?
It's almost as if... He suddenly realized what was happening and quickly hit a button on the console to send a ship-to-ship message to the rest of the fleet.
Abort! We're being jammed. Abort the mission and fall back to Red 6. Abort!
He clapped the lieutenant on the shoulder and spouted commands as he sprinted for his chair.
Helm, get us out of here. Full thrust.
Nick turned in midair and came down hard in the captain's chair. He had barely settled into the seat before the Ashok came about and accelerated away from the Brokta.
Come on, baby, get us out of here, Nick muttered as he stared at the viewscreen ahead of him, willing the ship to go faster and carry them out of weapons range.
The steady stream of enemy fire was too thick for the ship to escape this one unscathed. Every second they stayed, the hull took more of a beating.
Shields reaching critical, sir.
Just lost the starboard engine, the helm officer cried out.
He could tell by the crew's shaky voices that they were scared out of their minds. Nick straightened in his chair, the chaos around him playing in his brain like a slow-mode movie. The surreal scene of plasma flashes and sparks seemed to go on for an eternity as the ship continued to take a pounding from the Brokta. He had an excellent crew. He trusted their abilities. Despite the fear in their voices, they would fight to the death. But death might be a fate that came too soon. Even if the Mach 2 only managed to cripple the Ashok, Nick would be forced to use the self-destruct. The Resistance could never allow the hyperspace technology to fall into the hands of those monsters. He and the crew were well aware of the risks and what was at stake. But ultimately, the decision rested on his shoulders. And it was not a decision he relished. He felt like he was consigning his crew to their death either way, and he wasn't ready to give up on them just yet.
Just lost another engine,
helm control yelled over the rumble of enemy fire and small explosions. The bad report only steeled Nick's resolve.
It's never over until it's over.
Steady, helm. We've made it out of stickier situations before.
Nick gave a confident nod as the helmsman glanced back nervously over his shoulder toward the captain's chair. The young man returned the nod, swallowed hard, and turned his attention back to piloting the ship.
Can we open a jump point yet?
No, sir. We're still being jammed.
Nick checked his sensor readings.
It must be a localized field of some sort.
Keep trying. It's bound to have a range limit.
He needed to remain cool and think clearly, but it wasn't easy. Shit. The Mach 2 had managed to block the only effective weapon they had. He didn't even know it was possible to neutralize the formation of a hyperspace window. The thought had never crossed his mind. How on earth were they doing it?
Sir, the Tolan is cutting across our rear. They're turning back toward the enemy.
Nick punched a key.
Stark, what are you doing? Get clear.
A crackly voice came over the channel.
We've got your six, Admiral.
Explosions and chatter from the Tolan's crew filled the long pause.
We die free.
They've positioned themselves between us and the Starkiller, sir. They're taking the fire for us.
Captain, get clear. That's an order, Nick shouted.
Sorry, sir,
came the reply.
We've lost maneuvering thrusters. Only one thing left to do. Ramming speed.
The channel abruptly went dead. Nick watched helplessly as the Aresian ship sped toward the Mach 2 vessel, steady on its rendezvous with fate. Nick ran a hand down his face and felt his eyes beginning to burn as he watched. The enemy fire that had been pounding the Ashok's hull suddenly ceased, because of the crew of the Tolan, and because of their imminent sacrifice. The bridge grew silent as the Tolan drew closer and closer to the Brokta, blocking out the weapons fire that had been aimed at the Ashok only moments ago. It looked like Nick's ship, and his crew would make it out of this one after all.
but the growing quiet only served to punctuate the sense of impending loss for the brave crew of the Tolan. Nick stared at the monitor, waiting for the inevitable. The Tolan suddenly erupted in a massive explosion as it crashed through the Mach II shields. Chunks of debris pierced the shield and slammed into the enemy vessel. But the mighty Starkiller remained.
Sir, jump point forming, his helmsman reported. Good work, Helm. Get us out of here, best speed.
Aye, sir,
the helmsman replied with a sigh of relief. As the Ashok sped across the space-time threshold, attempting to escape into the safety of hyperspace, Nick lowered his head in respect for the valiant crew of the Tolan. At the moment, he didn't feel too good about himself or his place in this fight. He knew why the crew of the Tolan had been so willing to sacrifice themselves. They were still clinging to the belief that Nick was their savior, the one from that damn ancient prophecy. And they would do anything to protect him. Nick bit back a hiss of anguish. He knew better. He was only a man. Just a man trying to do the right thing and hopefully, somehow, stay alive through it all. They had barely entered hyperspace when it happened.
Incoming! His helmsman suddenly shouted.
Nick bolted upright in his chair.
Evasive! No time!
Boom! A direct strike to the aft of the ship threw Nick to the floor. The hyperspace window instantly began to collapse, grazing the damaged starboard engine pod as the field shrank in on itself. The immense spatial forces of the collapsing jump point ripped the engine to pieces as the ship coasted forward into the red abyss. The last plasma impact dealt the Ashok a crippling blow. Half the ship's systems were now inoperative, and the last remaining engine, communications, and the hyperspace generator were fried. The only good thing was that they had managed to make it into hyperspace. Outside of that, they were like a sailboat without wind, dead in the water.
Helm to station keeping.
Aye, sir, the lieutenant responded as he picked himself up off the floor. I am sorry, Admiral.
You did all you could, Nick said. No room to maneuver when you're in a jump point. We would never have made it this far if you weren't a good pilot. At least we're in hyperspace, away from the Brokta.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir,
the helmsman answered, catching his breath as he seated himself and began working the navigation console.
Thrusters at station keeping.
A deep, distorted voice came over Nick's comm badge.
Gezitar East. Kipturglach.
Nick tapped his badge. Karg? Is that you? Static and gibberish were all that replied.
Damn, comms are fried.
Nick spun his chair around, his gaze landing on the only available crew member. Ensign Corrin, find Karg and bring him to my ready room. The young Aresian ensign stood staring at the scrambling crew, completely unaware that Nick had spoken to him. Nick had seen that look too many times before. The ensign was scared, in a state of shock at having come through a blistering fight with a ship bigger and bolder than anything the ensign had ever seen before. The ensign had stared into the face of his own death and come out unscathed, but his brain apparently hadn't caught up to that knowledge yet. He looked like a little lost boy. Ensign Corrin, Nick repeated. The ensign suddenly realized the admiral was addressing him and snapped to. His eyes widened at the sight of the admiral staring at him. Find Karg and bring him to my ready room.
Aye. Right away, admiral.
He gave a nervous salute and headed for the lift. Nick watched the ensign leave the bridge. Poor kid looked relieved to have something to do. Nick wondered if he'd ever been that wet behind the ears. Had he ever been that scared? He couldn't remember. Maybe this part of space had hardened him, changed him. Somehow, Nick wasn't sure he liked the idea that he had changed. He wanted to be that same accident-prone scientist from Earth, still staring at the stars and wondering what was out there in the big old universe. Well, now he knew, and he didn't like it as much as he had thought he would. A short time later, Nick was studying the tactical data in his ready room when Karg stepped out of the transport tube and into the room. Nick didn't even need to look up to know it was Karg's 8-foot, four-armed hulk of a body coming across the floor. The vibrations were instantly recognizable. Nick stood and turned to meet him at the conference table, still pondering the sensor data.
a three-dimensional holographic display showing their last encounter sprang to life from the emitter housed within the table. Nick spun the hovering image with his finger, hoping that if he viewed the display from another angle, it would shed some light on recent events.
"What the frick happened?"
Karg asked. "We got caught with our pants down, that's what happened." Karg's brow lowered. He cocked his head, squinted one eye, and looked down curiously at Nick's legs. "It's just an Earth expression," Nick replied, still staring at the display. Karg straightened his gigantic, four-armed ogre of a frame and stood respectfully at attention in front of the Admiral.
"Right, sir."
"It means we were caught by surprise, that's all. And you can drop the sir in here."
"Yes."
Karg closed his mouth before the last word slipped out. Nick paced the floor for a moment before coming to a stop in front of Karg again. "The damn Mach 2 must have used the data from our attacks to develop some sort of jamming device. By the time we opened up a jump point to escape, they tagged us in the ass and now we're adrift in hyperspace without any engines. But, believe it or not, we have more immediate problems. We need communications back online."
"You'll have it, Nick."
"And see if you can clear up the internal comms while you're at it. Damn inconvenient. I can't keep sending crew members on missions to locate each other on my own ship. We have a lot to repair, and time is of the essence."
"I've got a team working on it already."
"Thanks, Karg. Better get to it, then." Karg nodded and turned to leave, but then paused.
"If I may ask, how are we going to defend against the Mach 2 now?"
Nick's gaze met the somewhat humbled expression on Karg's face. "I don't have a clue. And that scares the crap out of me." The look on Karg's face shifted to one of puzzlement. Nick shook his head. "Never mind. It's just another Earth saying." Karg's eyes blinked shut for a moment, and his head cocked to one side.
"No, actually I get that one. It's not a pleasant image, but I get it. We're in deep scat."
"Exactly." Later that day, aboard the Queen's Command carrier.
"Forgive me, Your Highness."
A female Aresian had appeared just inside the entrance of the Queen's outer chamber and paused, waiting for an invitation to come closer.
"I thought you would want to see this report."
Aria glanced up from the ancient manuscript she had been studying and immediately noticed the obvious difference in her assistant's demeanor. Aria hesitated. She didn't want to hear any bad news today, and judging by the young female's pained expression, it was definitely bad news. She paused a moment longer and then finally decided that delaying the message did not mean it would go away. The truth was the truth. Might as well get it over with.
"Yes, thank you. Bring it here, please."
The young woman stepped closer, bowed her head, and held out a thin, white tablet. Aria held one corner of the rectangular device and tilted it up to read the screen. It was a report on the recent offensive against the Mach 2. As she read, her hand began to waver, and she almost dropped the tablet. With difficulty, she managed to regain her composure and looked at her lady-in-waiting.
"Thank you, Nishka. That will be all."
The girl's gaze remained fixed on the floor, and she took one step backward and then turned and quickly left the room. Only when her assistant was gone did Aria allow herself to succumb to the deep emotion she felt. Tears slipped from her eyes and streaked down her smooth, green, speckled cheeks.
"His shock and its crew were missing."
She lifted the tablet again and scanned the reports from the two surviving captains. Location and status of the Ashok unknown. Hyperspace weapon ineffective against the Broktar, due to previously unseen jamming technology employed by the enemy. Admiral Bannon ordered us to retreat to hyperspace sector Red 6. We were on the opposite side of the Starkiller when we received the order, and were the first to jump out. The Ashok and Talon never made it to the rendezvous point. All attempts to contact either vessel have failed. Commencing search of their projected coordinates. Queen Aria turned and stared out through the large circular window of her chamber and into the depths of space.
What of Nick and Karg?
A sob shook loose from her throat as more tears streamed unchecked down her face. She had known this day might come, but she had never really been prepared for this moment. She had always hoped that it would never happen. She couldn't bear the thought of Nick not being alive, couldn't bear the thought of never seeing him again, never gazing into his shimmering blue eyes. "They'll be okay," she murmured. She took a deep breath to quell the tears and tried to stiffen her quivering upper lip. Nick and Karg had a habit of beating the odds. They could still be out there, somewhere. She held the tablet to her chest as if that would somehow help, and stared into the inky blackness of space, hoping, praying Nick was still alive. Her thoughts turned to this new jamming technology the Mach 2 had employed. The consequences weighed on her heart. She had grown accustomed to the string of victories the Resistance had achieved. But what would happen to them now? How would they fight against such a powerful enemy without their best weapon? Their only weapon. Her hopes for a swift end to the war were dashed. And Nick? Could she go on without him? She had to, for her people, but could she find the strength? She had gotten accustomed to his presence in her life, and the feeling of being part of something important had grown since he had arrived in her sector of the universe. With Nick around, she never felt alone. She felt like he would always be there for her, unless he couldn't be. She couldn't take the thought of him not being there. It was too much for her to bear. Unable to stop the strong emotion from rising up within her, Aria gave herself over to the anguish she felt and allowed her tears to flow like hot, raging rivers. Without Nick, she didn't want to be queen. Back aboard the Ashok, things weren't looking good. The damage from the lost battle was extensive. Communications were next to hopeless, and the engines were a whole other problem altogether, as in, unfixable. Unless they could scrounge enough parts to get one of them up and running, they would remain free-floating in hyperspace until someone happened to find them, or they died there. Karg sighed heavily, frustrated at the time-consuming project ahead of him. He wanted his comm back. Nick was right. This Dran trekking across the ship to have a conversation was more than inconvenient. He'd already walked the halls and taken the lift 3 times since the Ashok had lost her engines, and he was tired of it. For the 4th time, Karg stepped out of the lift and onto the bridge.
"Admiral?"
At hearing his rank called out, Nick spun the command chair around and found himself staring at a grubby, grime-smeared Rakosian. His brows came together in a half-frown. "Karg, what's the status?" Karg let out a long breath. He hated to disappoint Nick, but things weren't good.
"The antennae array is completely gone, sir."
Nick's frown deepened. "Can we rebuild it?"
"No. I mean, gone. It was blown clean off the ship. And the engines? What's left of them are a fracking mess. We're trying to see if there are enough parts to even put one back together. But I think we'll still need to fabricate a few things. The ship's a wreck. There's no life support or gravity to half the crew quarters, and the power conduits are fried. Shall I continue?"
"No, I get the picture. Just a normal day in space." Nick heaved a weary sigh. "Okay, so communications are out of the question, at least for the time being, and engines are a no-go until further notice. So, we could be here a while. How are we on rations?"
"A week. Longer if we stretch it."
Karg patted his big, muscle-bound stomach.
"Been needing to lose a few pounds anyway."
Nick glanced at Karg's enormous girth, then back at the ogre's face. He wasn't in the mood to joke just now. He was still reeling from the loss of the Talon's crew. "All right, seriously, how long on the engines?"
2 days, maybe."
"Days." Nick didn't like the sound of that. It meant they would be out of touch with the rest of the Resistance for far too long. A lot could happen in a couple of days, especially considering that now the fleet had no effective weapon to slow the advancing mechanoid army. Nick suddenly sat straighter in his chair. "Of course. Why hadn't he thought of it before? Karg, can we use the transport's radio to signal the rest of the fleet? They'll be out looking for us. Get down." Karg shook his head.
"No power to Bay 1, and the Dran outer door to Bay 2 is bent up pretty good. We can't get the fracking thing open. The team that was working on communications is already down there taking a look at it."
Nick let out a big sigh and scrubbed a hand through his thick brown hair. It had been one of those days. And a long one at that. "All right, fine.
I'll keep pondering this. We'll figure something out. In the meantime, keep me posted.
Yes, Admiral.
Karg turned and headed back to the lift. Nick watched the big lug amble off. Karg. Karg stopped and turned, his brow raised.
Huh?
Good work. Thank you, Nick said with a sincere nod of appreciation. Karg gave a slight smile and a nod, then continued toward the lift.
That's my job. Long hours, no pay, and getting shot at all the time. Why would I want to do anything else?
He turned around as the tube door shut, a big grin clearly visible on his face. Nick smiled. He knew the big guy would never really complain. Karg never asked for anything, just did his job. Still, Nick wanted him to know he was appreciated. It was easy to get wrapped up in the damn war and forget that they were all human. God, he hadn't thought of the crew as aliens since shortly after being flung into this bizarre new world. How weird was that? He thought of everyone now as just being a part of one great big crew, not human, not alien, just all part of a team. A muffled snort left Nick's nose as he thought about everything that had happened to him since accidentally being flung away from his own solar system and into a strange new environment. It had been one hell of a year for him, from scientist on Earth to hyperspace to him being considered an alien life form in a new world, and then Admiral of the Resistance. The smile faded as his thoughts drifted to Aria. Shit, Aria. She must have heard the news by now, and knowing her, she was worried sick. Nick squeezed the bridge of his nose between his fingers to relieve the headache that had been building for the last few hours. He couldn't get caught up in thinking about Aria. He had to stay focused. Focus, Nick, focus. He had to figure out what to do about the Mach 2. The Resistance had dealt the Mach 2 a huge blow in the last few months, but their massive ships just kept coming. The mechanoid army seemed endless. Recently, the number of Starkiller vessels they were encountering was on the decline. Unfortunately, it was hard to tell if the lack of larger vessels was simply part of the enemy strategy. The speed of the smaller Mach 2 vessels was considerable, making them a harder target for the Resistance. One thing was clear. Nick had underestimated the Mach 2. If they had already developed a defense against hyperspace weapons, then it would only be a matter of time before they mastered hyperspace itself. Nick winced. The pain in his temple was growing worse.